and died on the cross, he left an entity that was everlasting. He left an organism that would never die. And that was the Church of the Living God. The church has always been the Lord's center of ambassadorship for the world. The devil's power has been broken by the death of Jesus and his resurrection from the grave. And then I want you to note that when Jesus asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" there was answers like, "Some say you are Elijah, some say you are Jeremiah, some say you are one of the prophets." But then he made it very personal. "Who do you say that I am?" And then Peter made a strike. Every once in a while he made a strike. And this time he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And for the first time the disciples heard the word church. For Jesus said to him, "Upon this rock will I build my church." And notice the next line. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I want you to understand that, because that has a great bearing on what is happening in our day. You're looking at a condition that is frightening. I heard a man say last night, a big man, he said, "I'm afraid to walk down the streets of my city by myself." And I thought, what a strange thing from a big, strong-looking man. But they have also random gun shooting. I was amazed to hear that it's even in this part of the country. They're having it all over the country, people just going around murdering people. What kind of a thrill is that? Somebody has let forth a spirit of dementing that has gotten the minds of men into confusion, and they're doing things that they never would have thought of doing because they're controlled by a demon possession. When I look at these things and note that in the days of Noah, God destroyed the earth because of the violence that was in it. And when we look at today's picture, the only thing that is keeping more of this from happening is the church. And I'm not talking about just any old church. I'm talking about a church of the apostolic faith. I'm talking about a spirit-filled church. I'm talking about a church that has received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. We are not compromising that message. What a shame if the Lord God would give a first church all that wonderful blessing and say to the last church, "You can't have it." One lady said to a boy one day when he said he had received the Holy Ghost, she said, "The Holy Ghost is not for today." Said, "That went out with the apostles." He said, "Too late, lady. I got it yesterday." So when we look at what the Lord God is doing, we know that God is able to perform great things even in a vicious, violent age. We're looking at degeneration today, horrible degeneration. Degeneration that makes gays famous. If God had wanted to make a companion for Adam, he'd have made him another man and none of you would be here. I want you to know something. And if you don't understand that, I'll be glad to send you a letter and draw pictures for you, because I want you to know God in his beautiful plan arranged that man should have a woman. And that ought to settle that one forever. They tried to find a companion amongst the animals and could find none. So the Lord gave him a divine anesthesia. And when he awakened there, he said, "Behold the woman." I like what the Lord did. Praise God. You know, it's an amazing thing. The devil's power has been broken. The Lord's center of ambassadorship for the world is the church. We are to say, "Be ye reconciled to God." An ambassador's position in the world is simply this. He represents another country. He doesn't involve himself in the affairs of the world that he lives in. He comes from another country. You say, "You mean that you Pentecostal apostolics came from another country?" Yea, verily we did. There came a sound of mighty rushing wind. Where did it come from? Came from heaven. And fell upon all them that were seated in Jerusalem. And the Holy Ghost began a great work in the midst of the world and sent the church to staunch the power of Satan. The devil's power has been broken by the death of Jesus and his resurrection. And also, the revelation of Peter gives us the understanding that there is no way, no way, the devil's going to win this battle. No way that he's going to win this battle. The church that we're talking about, of course, is a church of power. And then Paul wrote something very beautiful to the church. This is what he wrote to the church. In the book of Ephesians, 1st chapter, 3rd verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. So that when you come into an apostolic, Jesus name, Holy Ghost anointed church, you're sitting in heavenly places. As Paul moves on into his teaching to the Ephesian church, you see, the Ephesians lived in a very wicked, sinful city. The city of Ephesus, when Saul, Tarsus, or Paul came into that city, was moved on by a mighty revival from God. The devil reared his head, and there was absolute idolatry with an image that was given to Diana, the goddess. And then this man, Paul, powerful preacher, who was transformed by the Holy Ghost on the road to Damascus, let them know that there was a power that could work in all forms. And then the scripture tells us that as Paul preached, mightily prevailed the word of God. And today, we preach a message that might antagonize some people of certain ideas and certain things. But I want you to know, friend, we're not here to antagonize, we're here to baptize. We're not here to irritate you, we're here to penetrate your heart with the mighty word of God and change your direction. Some of you are going in the wrong direction today, and that direction needs to be changed. There needs to be a transformation. Saul of Tarsus was transformed. And if he could be transformed and become a propagator of the gospel, it's possible for all of us to be transformed. Then in connection with these heavenly places, second chapter of the book of Ephesians, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known to the church the manifold wisdom of God. So he is saying that the church might know in the power or the principalities and powers in heavenly places where they're located. Now notice what Ephesians 2:2 says. Wherein in time past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. What we're looking at is the fact that the devil is the prince and power of the air. He doesn't own the earth. The earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof. And we're claiming it. We're claiming it in Jesus' name and bring it back to its rightful owner. But what Paul is telling these Ephesians, that they live in a situation where they might understand what their calling is, and that the prince and the power of the air is the devil, but he keeps telling him, to the intent now, unto the principalities and power in a heavenly places, might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. So the Lord God is letting us know, and I want you to hear it clearly, the Lord Jesus Christ has stuck his church right in the middle of Satan's kingdom. If he's the principality and the power of the air, and we sit in heavenly places, we're right there under his filthy nose. And I want you to know that he knows that. This great church of the living God is an untouchable enigma and an organism of God.
I think this is one of the most beautiful teachings in the Bible. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities.
That's governments.
Against powers, all kinds of powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against the spiritual wickedness in high places. There we are again. We're sitting in the heavenly places. We're letting the devil know you cannot have us. Now you say, the church can be defeated. No, no. Church will never be defeated. He's going to have a church. He says he's going to have a church. Without spot, without wrinkle, without any kind of a taint on it. Because he has secured it by washing it with his blood. The Lord Jesus Christ blood washed us. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. And I have the power of the living God in my life. I can tell the story of redemption because I've been redeemed. I was lost in sin. And it wasn't until I began to bend my knee at an altar of prayer in true repentance that God heard and answered my prayer. It wasn't until I went down in the waters of baptism in the precious name of Jesus that I was sanctified by the name and sanctified by the Holy Ghost and rose to walk in newness of life. And there's more to that about the church. One of these days, and listen to this, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now notice that. The first heaven had sin in it. This next heaven, no sin. No sin in this next heaven. But people have asked me the question, and it didn't dawn on me that this was right next to the verse I just read to you. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall no wise enter into it anything that defileth. What nation is that? Tell me. It's not America. My God, have mercy, it's not America. Not only is it not America, it's not any nation in this world. Many nations of the world have gone back in apostasy and have drowned themselves in the unbelief that's destroying their lives. But the Bible teaches us he's going to bring the glory of the nations into it. If nothing can get in there that defileth, that worketh abomination, that maketh a lie, who is that nation? Let me tell you, you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. And a holy nation. A peculiar people. That have come out of darkness into this marvelous light. Once you were not a people. Now you're the people of God. Once you were not a people, but you had been redeemed. You have been washed. Once you were not a people, but Almighty God has come into your lives and made you a people for His name's sake. There are people today listening to this broadcast. You say, there's no hope for me. Yes, there is. It's in the church. One man said to me, you call all those folks brother and sister. Sure I do. He said, you didn't have the same father. I said, oh, yes, we did. The Lord God was our father. You didn't have the same mother. Oh, yes, we did. The church is our mother. But you don't have the same bloodline. Oh, yes, we do. That blood was shed on Calvary. And it's brought us into the fellowship of the saints of the mighty God. You don't have the same language. Oh, yes, we do. When we get the Holy Ghost, we speak with other tongues. The Spirit of God gives the utterance. You can't get in this church till you get that. Now, that makes it real strong. I intended it to be. And I want you to know that there are churches, United Pentecostal churches, all over North America. They're in foreign countries. Find out where one is and go and ask them what to do about your salvation.
Harvest time.
Harvest time.
Harvest time. The Savior's come. The Savior's come. Pastor of Harvest Time has brought you a Bible message with a clear and certain sound. A printed copy of today's outstanding gospel message is available to you if you will request it when you write to us at Harvest Time, Box 215, St. Louis, Missouri, 63166, USA. We would be extremely pleased to hear from you this week and to know that you are attending the United Pentecostal Church near you. You'll love the atmosphere of this truth-proclaiming center in your area. Now, in behalf of our General Superintendent, Nathaniel A. Urshan, and the people of the United Pentecostal Church International, this is Hugh Rose saying, God bless you. It was great to be with you today, and we'll be looking forward to being with you next week.